We had yesterday the meeting with the leaders, but the handout is important so that you take it home with you, because there will be homework.
There will be homework.
So you need to take it. All the scriptures are there. You can study and let the Lord do the work. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, what an amazing time of worship, wasn't it?
Yes.
The presence of God was so thick on this place.
Yes, Jesus.
I just want to ask you to bow your hands right now. You know, whenever you're going to have a conference or you're going to try to work in our marriage or work in our families, the enemy just rises and come against. I don't know, how was your day today? How was your week? You're driving here. Maybe you're feeling stressed. There's things happening in your life and you say, I don't know why I'm here right now. But God had an encounter with you. He had planned this for you. And you're not here by a case. I don't know what you went through, but He does. And He brought you here because He has a new beginning for you. He has something new for your marriage. He has something new for your family. Sometimes you just think, oh, my family is so messed up. My marriage is so messed up. You know, but I have great news for you. That God can fix it.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
God can fix it.
Yes, so, God.
So just open your heart and just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to Him because He wants to speak with you. He wants to give you some keys that will transform your marriage, will transform your family, will transform your church. Because strong families, strong church. And that's the bride of Christ. The church is the bride. And God wants a strong bride. And through us, that's what He's going to do it. So Lord, I surrender tonight to You, Father. Lord, every heart that's here, Lord, we surrender them to You, Father. And Lord, we pray that You just break all the barriers, Father God, in our hearts. Lord, we don't want to resist to Your Holy Spirit, Father, but we want to be open for what You want to do here, Father. Lord, we pray for our families. We bring our families, Lord, before You, and we ask, Lord, that You do something supernatural, Father.
Yes,
where it's good, Lord, You ask that You make better, Father. Lord, we want to have families, Lord, that serves You, Father God. Lord, we pray for restoration in relationship,
and
parents and kids and parents, Father God, husband and wife, wife and husband, oh Lord. We pray, Lord, that You move powerfully. Holy Spirit, we don't have what to take. We are waiting on You, Holy Spirit. And we ask that You speak with us tonight, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and have Your way in us, oh Lord. So, Lord, we pray, Father. We pray, Father God, that You come and touch us, that You speak with us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
Wow. So good.
It's so good, guys. But we know that whenever you're going to be talking about marriage or family, the enemy rises against us. That's what we had happening with us during this week. It was Thanksgiving, but there was some stuff, that little stuff that was happening and was getting the other one's nerves. You know, and we knew that that was the enemy. And said, okay, just remember that you're going to be speaking to family this weekend. So now, where do you think that he's going to attack? Our family.
Right.
You know, so there was a lot of things, but in the end, we make things right and we fix it. Because say he's not going to take any advantage, and we are not going to be there speaking to them something that we don't live in our houses.
That's right.
But just get ready. Get ready. You know, I know that you're tired. Just surrender to the Lord, because he's going to come and he's going to do something. You know, from the whole weekend, if you have one thing that you get it and start applying your life, your marriage, your family is going to be changed.
Wow.
You know, so the problem is that sometimes we have, oh, we get so overwhelmed, oh, there's so many things. But just fix one.
Yeah.
Just fix one. You know, that you're not going to be on the same place anymore. You're going to move forward. Amen?
Wow, that's so good. But before, like yesterday, we talked to the leaders. How many people were here yesterday? Raise your hand so we get to see. Awesome. It's a lot of people. How many people is here for the first time? Raise your hand so we get to see. Awesome, guys. Welcome. This is so good. We have our friends here. They were from Viva Church.
Yes, Renato they and Amy. Were, and there they you are go. Here in Edmonton.
Yes, they moved since 2021.
3 years ago.
Thanks, guys, for coming. Now, we want to thank pastors here, Pastor Leonard, Pastor Lori. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Yes, we had a great day with them today. They drove us around. They showed Edmonton. It was just an amazing time.
Amazing time.
We went to the fifth biggest mall in the world.
Yes.
I thought it was the first one, but no, it's the fifth now.
Now it's the fifth. It's huge.
Dubai is here, guys, so they have the first one.
That's right.
Of course they're going to get the best.
Yes. And now, do you want to give an intro about us?
Yeah, so my name is Valdir.
Alessandra.
We are pastors at Viva Church with Pastor Frank, Seixas, and Chris. Many of you guys know he was here some months ago. And so I'm the church executive pastor at the Viva Church. And we are there with them for 23 years. Mm-hmm. We know those guys back in Brazil when we were singles. You know, we were working together back home.
Yes, we're singles dating together. Then we married 6 months later. They came down and married because they were already opening the church here in Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time. It's been amazing.
We have two kids that they're not kids anymore.
Yes.
João Vitor, he's 28, going to turn 29. And Ana Paula, she's 18.
Yes. JV is going to get married next year, guys. Yes, JV is getting married next year. So this is a big news here. We don't know exactly when, but he will. That's good. Yes, we're very happy. We're very happy. So we oversee the family ministry at church. He's the exec pastor, but together we do the family ministry. So doing marriages and parenting, a lot of things for the families. As soon as we arrive there this coming weekend, we're doing our family conference, our marriage conference, actually, just for the married couples. And it's busy. And I also oversee the hospitality department. We have 5 teams under that department. So it gets busy, but it is fun, a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yes. And yesterday was an amazing time with the leaders. We gave them a little homework so that tonight when they came here, they already are a little bit ahead. We said everything starts with you guys. It starts with the leadership and it flows down. So today we're going to continue a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to overlap some of the things that you guys heard yesterday.
Yes.
But we need to have that foundation for what's coming tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, so guys, you need to practice unity because that's what it is. You're going to hear twice.
How many people here are married? Raise your hand. Majority. So let's invert. How many are not married? Just raise your hand. So a few people not Matthew.
Enjoy, brother.
Enjoy while you're not married. But yes, it's coming. It's coming. Yes. Amen. So yes, we're going to be speaking. Everything begins with the marriage. That's the foundation, right, for the church. The foundation is nothing else but marriages and then families and then church. That's how it all begins. So it's important to strengthen that.
Yeah, but if you came and said, okay, I'm a young adult, I'm not married, so what I'm doing here, it's for family.
That's right.
You know, if you apply those principles in your life your parents, you know, maybe they are Christians or not, but if you live the way that the Bible is telling you to live, you're going to be blessed.
Yes.
Your family is going to be blessed.
That's
so
right.
Don't think, oh, this is just for a couple.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yes.
You know, but it's for you too. So because the Bible is full of things for family, and you are part of the family
of
God, and God wants to do something in your life too.
Amen.
So just take whatever God is speaking to you.
Yes, Jesus, amen. We love how you guys named this weekend, Family Impact. That's amazing, because when families are impacted, the church is impacted. Right? So this is amazing. And that's exactly what we're doing. The Lord said to us this: healthy churches are made of healthy families. And healthy families are made of healthy marriages. If the marriage is messed up, it's not the way it's supposed to be, it will be a domino effect to the family and to the church. Everything that happens in the marriage gets reflected into the church. That's how it is. Marriages are not well, the church's not going to be doing well because it's going to be brought into the church. So we need to start with the first unit, which is marriage, and then go into the next stage, which is family, and then go to the wider unit, which is the church. Mm-hmm. Amen? And this is what's happening today.
And one thing, guys, we know the world that we are living today. You know, people are lost. They don't have a reference of marriage anymore or a family anymore. There are people just looking for something, some light. And we are Christians. We have the answer for them. So if you have a good marriage, you know, maybe your neighbor is looking for something. And you're going to be that light for them. You know, so we have people here from all over Edmonton. You know, imagine you being a light wherever you live. Yes. And people are looking for that referential because they cannot see. They cannot find anywhere else. Everything that we are seeing today, it's messed up. Yeah. So, and we have the answer for them. So that's what I love, the impact, family impact, because you're going to impact other families through this. Amen?
Amen. So these 3 days, because today, tomorrow, and then Sunday, we're going to complete on Sunday, the marriage and everything, and the family as well. We believe God's going to speak with you. So you're not here just sitting. Even the single ones, you're not just here sitting. God, the Holy Spirit will be speaking, and He's going to be addressing you areas. He's gentle, right? Areas that you need to repent, areas that you need to change, areas that people that you need to forgive. Oh, I thought it's going to be, no, it won't, because the way that we're going to live here is transformed. We're not coming just to see, oh, kumbaya, everything is so good. Jesus is love. Jesus is love, but it is because He's love, we need to reflect that. And change has to start with us. So are you ready to change? This is the first question. Oh, no, I don't want to change. Then nothing is going to happen. Then there'll be improvement? No. Because God said this, I'm ready to bless. I'm willing to bless you. He's not just ready and has all power. He's willing to do it. He said, I'm ready. But He will not bless you if you don't do your part. There's a condition that when you do, then I will. That's the Bible. When you do your part, then I will. Are you ready for the I will of the Lord? I am. Yeah. And as we speak, Amor, right? We always say, this is for us as
Amor,
well.
Amor
is love, sorry. So as we talk and as we teach, it's for us as well. So I want you to open your ears and hear. And as we hear, we're going to then take action at the end. There'll be homework, of course.
So, so don't just think that I'm going to be on this conference or this marriage weekend and my family is just going to be awesome just because you're here. It's not, you know. Whatever you're getting here, you need to apply outside.
Yes.
So if not, you're just the same way that you came here, you're going to get out and your family's still a mess. Uh-huh. You know? So you need to apply what you're going to learn here. And one thing that I like, whenever you're going through this, and if you are here as a couple, there is a time of grace. There is a period of grace over us for this. Because both of you, a lot of people from the church is hearing that. So it's a good time to restart, to press a reset button in your marriage, in your family, and start doing what God is calling you to do. So because both of you are going to be hearing, or more people from the church, and so it's good for you guys to start practicing that. You know, we are going to give you some homework in the end, but sometimes you're not going to have time, but I'm just going to ask you guys, take some time during this week. I don't know, maybe your schedule is so busy that I don't have that time tonight. I need to sleep and I have kids to take care. But make sure that you guys get a babysitter and whatever you're going to be talking here, get some time with your spouse and talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you don't talk about and you just think, oh, keep on going, it's not going to change anything. So it's a time. There is a grace period of your life that the Holy Spirit wants to take you guys to a new level. He wants to heal your marriage. He wants to heal your family. You know, and you want to, I saw yesterday, there's a bunch of kids, small kids here, and that's the greatest time for them to have parents that have a great marriage to raise them in the right way. Yeah. Amen? And for the ones that have teenagers, they're going to have great things, great tools for you too, to go back and fix some stuff with them. Amen?
Amen. So as we were preparing and asking God and seeking God, what are we supposed to speak and how are we about to do this? What is that you have in your heart? And He said, the message is all about put your house in order. That's what He said. Put your house in order. Tell the person beside you, put your house in order.
Put your house in order.
Now the other side. That's right.
Put your house in order.
Put your house in order. Amen. Put your house in order. If our houses are not in order, according to what the Bible says it is order, our marriage suffers, our family suffers, and it's going to, of course, affect the church. Right? It's going to be a domino effect. Put your house in order is the word that the prophet Isaiah gave to King Hezekiah. Remember? And when the word came, he says, Isaiah said, put your house in order. This is the word of the Lord. Because you will surely die. This is not the word for you today. You will not surely die. Okay, but that's the word that came for Hezekiah. And when you study Hezekiah and you study 2 Chronicles, Isaiah, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, when you see that the Lord gave him another 15 years, remember? Remember that? He asked the Lord, he bitterly cried. There was pride in his heart. He was an amazing king, an amazing man of God, but there was pride. And he bitterly cried, so that was his repentance. He was repenting. And the Lord really gave him the 15 years. But the funny thing when we see this story is that when the word came to him, was about him and his wife alone. Because Manasseh was his first son. And Manasseh was 12 when he became king and Hezekiah died. So what does this mean? That when the word came, Hezekiah, put your house in order, he had no kids. So who was God talking about? About the marriage. His house was him and his wife. What was he doing? What was he neglecting in there? We don't know. But the word was for the marriage. So the word is for you today. Put your house in order. The Lord's giving you this time for you to work in your marriage and talk about it and let's move on and do things different. God's going to give you a chance to do things in order, to bring order in the marriage, to fix things that are not the best, areas that maybe are neglected. He's going to give you the idea. He's going to tell you as he speaks to you. That's why your paper is there. Write it down. Oh, I'm going to remember later. No, I don't think we will remember later. So you're going to write it down, okay? Because if your marriage is not well, your family is suffering. Your children are suffering there. So marriage and family are very serious for God. Marriage and family are very serious for God. It's the foundation for everything. So we're going to do this now. And who is going to do? It's you. Just do this to you. Who is going to do the parts that you need to do? It's you. The word that the Lord says is, you put your house in order, Hezekiah. He didn't say, oh, Hezekiah, come here. I will put your house in order. He said, you put your house in order. God's going to give you the tools, but you are going to have to do the work. Are you ready to do the work? He's going to restore us towards him, us towards our spouse, and he's going to restore us towards our children. Three levels. Get it there? It's not only about, oh, I'm doing so well with the Lord. I'm doing so well with the Lord. If you're neglecting your spouse, guess what? Prayers are hindered right there. You get it? I'm mistreating my kids. Prayers are hindered because we're not treating them the way the Lord wants us to do. So we're going to do what? It's going to start to just shift right now. Holy Spirit's already speaking. I already know. Us with God, us with our spouse, and us towards our children. Amen? So how are we going to do this? We need to identify what's wrong. Yeah, I think you have this there. Take responsibility for our actions. Repent and ask for forgiveness. Change how we are doing things. And keep on adjusting as we go. A good marriage will not happen by accident, but it will require constant tweaking. Constant tweak. So you have those steps there for you to do it later.
Now, there's a big difference between falling in love and staying in love. They are not the same. You know, I love what you said in the beginning that God wants to take us back to the first love.
Yes.
Because we love him in the beginning, but we start losing that because things start happening in our life and we are just letting pass. And he's asking us, come back to the first
yes.
love. So falling in love can happen at first sight. You just see, wow. So you see that person, you start
drooling. Was it first sight for you? Was a wow?
Yes, it was. Or in the process of meeting someone.
Yeah.
You know, you start knowing someone and you start enjoying their company and that start growing. You know, that's how you fall in love also. But to be in love, to stay in love, what we need to do? We need to keep on doing what we are doing. You know, treating that. So we need to preserve everything that we had with the person before, everything that we know about the person, that we love the person. We are going to be talking, continue to do whatever you're, the way that you fell in love for the person, things that you just love on them. You just need to keep on doing that. And sometimes in the beginning, we love everything that the person does. But after you got married, all of those things that you love on the person now gets on your nerves, isn't it? I remember when we started dating, you loved how much I eat, the way that I eat. And after we got married, that started being a problem.
Yes.
Because I gained so much weight.
Yes.
So there. So falling in love can happen in the first sight. That can happen. We see that. Like my son, he's dating this girl that he's going to marry her. In the beginning, it was just friends. And we are asking, okay, so how are the things? No, we are just friends. I like to be with her. But that was it, you know. But with more that he started living with her and knowing her, he fell in love for her. And now he's in love and he wants to get married. So so we still need to do the same thing that we did in the beginning. The things that we fell in love for the person, we need to still preserve those things.
Yes, amen, Jesus.
Yeah, I got lost here. Okay, to continue to stay in love will require hard work. You know, after you get married, we know how hard can be sometimes. You know that all those things that we love in the person, today we don't love anymore.
Yeah.
It's getting on our nerves. So, but, and we need commitment.
Yes.
You know, that's a big thing, humility.
Wow.
You need to eat some humble pie. Walk in forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, repentance. Repentance is something that sometimes for guys, it's not something very common for us. We kind of resist that, you know, especially when you didn't see your parents repenting.
Wow.
So if you didn't see, you didn't learn. For me, it was very hard. So thank God for my wife that helped me with that. She was praying for me and helped me with that because it was hard for me because I never had that, I never saw that in my house. Loving and appreciating the other, honoring and respecting one another, making time for each other so that we are married. How much time are you making for your spouse, in your family, or for your kids? Yesterday I was just saying that sometimes we have a cell phone that we spend much more time, quality time, with our phones than with our kids. Sometimes they are asking, or with our spouse, that they are talking to us and you are just there. Okay, uh-huh. And you ask, so why did they say? I don't know. They were there on the box of the cell phone. Yeah. So making time for each other, maintain emotional connection with each other. That's something big, guys. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot of couples today, they don't have that connection anymore. Because they start losing, and it's just living two separate lives. And we need to... What do you do? Repent and come back. Listen and valuing your spouse's opinion. That's a big one. You know, they have an opinion, did you know? And sometimes we don't want to hear, and we just, okay, don't ask them their opinion. And sometimes we get in some troubles because we've never heard their opinion. So we need to listen to them. Not controlling and manipulating their relationship. And there's many times that we see some couples, that's the way they do. They manipulate the relationship. You're going to talk to them, and it's so hard to talk because there's always somebody, I need to ask him because or her, that they make all the decision. So it's hard. So we require willingness to change. Are you willing to change? Because God wants to take you to a new level. But if you're not willing, he's not going to take you. He's not going to take you. And he wants you there, because there is going to be much better, much, much better. You know, you're going to have a generation of kids that's going to be serving the Lord. They're going to have great marriages, and that's what we want, isn't it? I want my kids just have a better marriage than we have. We have a great marriage, but you know, I want them to have a better one. So, and it starts in us. How are you going to pass this to them? We had some friends that the kids, they didn't want to get married because the parents live a life. They were just fighting all the time. They say, I'll never want to get married. I never want to get married. If that's what marriage is, I don't want. Start making inner vows. I don't want to get married. You know, because of that. How are kids seeing our marriage? How are kids seeing our family? If you look, whenever they're going to have a family, are you going to be happy seeing that they're going to have a family that was the example that they got in your house? How do you think it's going to be their lives? Amen? So, but that's what God wants to fix.
Amen. Now, out of this list that he read, we wrote this just for you. So out of this list, how are you doing? Do you value your spouse's opinion? Do you go really, do you want to hear? But to know maybe what he or she is going to say is not what you want to hear, do you still value? Do you still ask? If we don't respect and don't protect this question, then respecting and protecting all this list and more, this is just a few, in the marriage, the relationship starts to deteriorate right away. Because you fell in love, we know that, because you are together. But the staying in love is a little bit different. When we protect and respect all this list, the staying in love continues to happen. And the things get better and better and better. And the longer you are together, the better it gets. We've been married for 31 years, and guess what? We're more in love now than we were when we married. Oh, no, no, it's the other way around. As you get longer, marriage is going to start just to get it cooler, cooler. Goes back to where? Go back to the first love. Go back, repent, see where you fell. Go back and do the first things that you did in the beginning. That's the Revelation's word. Are you doing the things you did in the beginning? That's the thing. When the children grow up in an atmosphere that where people value one another, they're going to take that to their marriage. They're going to practice to do this. They're going to learn to practice those things. Are you okay so far? Are you ready to put your house in order? Yes? So let's go. Today we're going to talk about unity in the marriage. Unity in the marriage. We started yesterday a little bit with the leadership, talking about in the church, but now we're going to take it to the next level. How is unity in your marriage? How is unity in your house if you're not married? How is unity in your family if you're just a young kid? How do you feel unity in your household? Just think about it a little bit. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Nope. The answer is no. Jesus says in Mark, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Unless there's unity in our marriage, we will not be able to stand. It's going to crumble. It's going to deteriorate. Unity is the key for a healthy marriage, a healthy family, and a healthy church. So we want us to take a look a little bit how it was in the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning. Where do you think that the concept of unity in the family come from? Just think about it. The unity, the concept of unity inside the family, where does it come from? Think back. What do you think? Thank you. The Godhead. Everything began in the Godhead. Remember that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they were one. They are one. Together, they form the Godhead what? Family. They are the Godhead family. So when they created Adam and Eve, what did they want? The same idea that was they were experiencing within them, they wanted for us. So let's read if this is true. John 17, 20-23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's about the disciples and those who are going to believe. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I and me are one, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. When we are one, the world believes that Jesus was sent by God. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete and perfect unity. So what's this verse saying? That they had this complete and perfect unity that we are supposed to have as well. What we have, Father, God, I want them to have. What I see, be in you, you and them, I in them, you in me. That's what Jesus is saying. The perfect unity that we have made, they experience. That's what the verse said. So they flow in what? The Trinity, the Godhead. They flow in perfect unity. perfect submission and perfect love. Do you see that in the Godhead? Perfect unity, perfect submission, and perfect love. The Trinity is our example of the perfect family. And he's saying, what we have, Father, is for them as well. We want them to experience perfect unity. So he's saying, I want them to have perfect unity, perfect submission. Whoa, that's a good word right there. And perfect love. Tell the person beside you, I want to have perfect submission, perfect unity, and perfect love with you. This is not only for the marriage. This is also for the church. This is for the believer. This is for the church, the bride of Christ, all together. But it starts with the marriage. Genesis 2:24 says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Just like the Godhead is one, through marriage we become what? One. This is what it's saying here. Unity is the first principle seen in the Bible for a successful marriage to exist. After Adam was made, the Lord said, it's not good for him to be alone. Let's give him the helper. And here comes Eve. And then they said, now through marriage, you go back to being one. Because remember, Eve was taken from Adam. Now, Eve is not Adam. What Eve is, Adam doesn't have anymore. It came out of him. So now for Adam to be complete, for this reason, a man shall go back. Leave the father and mother and go back and be joined, and they will become one. This is why. Because unless we are one with our spouse, how can we walk together? We can't. So unity in the marriage and unity in the family is the key for success. The Lord wants you to succeed in your marriage. He's given you everything that you need. His word has everything that you need. If we follow his design, we will succeed. We break the design, we will fail. Are you miserable in your marriage? Kids that are here, are you happy in the home that you're being raised? Are you happy how your mom and dad are doing marriage? This is serious, guys. Because Jesus said, what we have, the perfect thing, it's for them, Father. So don't live here the same way. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Yeah. Hallelujah, yeah. Jesus. Yes.
So now if unity and walk as one is the first thing God commanded for marriage, do you think that Satan likes that? Oh, no. Nope, of course not. He hates it.
That's right.
He hates it, and he's going to try to do everything that you separate, and you're not going to walk in unity. Yeah. Uh-huh. And what does he do? What is his strategy? To bring division and strife.
Yeah.
And he starts in the marriage. He tries to separate what God has put together.
Yeah.
So in our relationship, he's going to try anything that he can. And we are seeing how much he's destroying yes. couples outside. You know, and he's, sometimes inside of the church we see that.
Yes.
So let's take a look at what's happening in the Garden of Eden. We will separate what happened in the Garden of Eden in two phases. Before the fall and after the fall.
Yes.
So let's see how was life before the fall. So before the fall, Adam and Eve walked with God daily. Mm-hmm. Okay? Talk with God face to face. They trust God. They never argued. There was no competition, no blaming. Everything was perfect. They were walking naked on the garden. So
right.
I don't know how that worked, but
that's
they did.
Right.
So they lived in perfect unity, in perfect relationship with God and with one another.
Yes. Wow.
They were there.
Wow.
Everything was perfect.
Yes.
So, and God was there with them. So now let's see what happened after the fall, after they ate the fruit. So can you read this? Genesis 3:8.
Yes. So Genesis 3, do you have in your handout, 8 to 13? Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" So the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it."
Mm-hmm. So after this, what happened in there after the fall? They were afraid of God. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that happened there. Yes. Fear of punishment entered man's heart. Yeah. Until then, they didn't have any problem. God was coming and walked with them. They were fine. Yes. But after the fall, that was happened. They were afraid of God. Yeah. There was a separation between God and mankind. Yes. Remember, they were walking together there? God and mankind, now they're not. There was a separation. The supernatural got separated from the natural to the natural now. Yeah. So there was a separation now. Yes. So God's not going to walk with them anymore. Wow. So they're just going to live by themselves there on the earth. Strife entered the family. Remember that you're talking about, oh, that was the serpent. No, it was my wife, and it was the woman that you gave me. So there was an argument. They start arguing. There was blaming, one blaming to the other. Was a serpent, was the woman. So they didn't have none of those problems before.
Wow.
So perfect unit and perfect relationship was broken with God and with one another now.
Wow, Jesus.
Wasn't just with God that they broke the relationship. In between the husband and the wife, Adam and Eve, was broken that relationship also. So we see that Satan's plan from the beginning was to separate and divide us from God and from our purpose. Because remember, he was saying, if they're walking in unity, God is blessing them. God is here with them, walk with them, and they are one with one another, and they're one with God, and everything was awesome. Uh-huh. So the enemy said, you know what? I'm going to break this.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to divide. There's no unity, so that's what happened there.
Another thing that we see here is that after the fall, God spoke a curse over them, right? There was a curse spoken over the woman, the man, and the serpent. Remember that? Now, what happened here is that the curse spoken over Eve was the hardest one. All of them were hard. We're going to talk about this. But it breaks the unit. It was a hard one. And that's why we see maintaining unity in the marriage is hard. And it's about the curse that was spoken over Eve. Not the word spoken over Adam, was not the word spoken over the serpent, but the word spoken over Eve tells us it's going to be hard to keep this one now. So let's see what it says. Genesis 3:16. Then he said to the woman, this is the curse, this is God speaking to Eve, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. Was there this before? Up to the fall, was there any record of dominance? Tell me. How were they before the fall? One. One was not dominating the other. One was not controlling the other. There was no strife, no division. But now, here it comes. Now one is going to have to control the other. You are going to try to control your husband, but guess what? He's going to control you. It's going to be this fight. Do you know the sex, the battle of the sex, one against the other? Who is better? What am I going to do? What's here? What do you want to do? I'm going to do what I want. You do what you want. And then Satan is coming in to bring the strife because he wants to separate what the Lord has joined together. God said, you are one. Tell your spouse, we are one. That's it. You're one. But Satan is going to say, no, no, you're two. Look at the way your husband does things. You don't agree with that. You don't think the same way. This is bad. This is bad. So if there is dominance, guys, there is a great chance for strife. Anywhere that there is controlling and dominance, there's a great chance for strife. And where there is strife and division, there's no blessing. The moment that division comes into the marriage, the blessing gets cut off. Shh. No, Lord, bless us. I have this problem, this situation with my kids. Can you bless us? But hey, hold on. You broke the unity. I can't release my blessing. The Lord lives by principle. Do you know that? It's not that he thinks you are more beautiful than the other person. Oh, I'm so cute. He loves me more. Uh-uh. You do the principle and he blesses you. You break the principle. Goes downward. So this is how it is. So let's see what the principle of unity is. Behold, how good it is, pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity. When we dwell together in unity, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded his blessing, life forevermore. So where there is unity, God commands his blessing. But Satan is saying, I don't want you to be blessed. I want to cut off the blessing flow. So he's going to do what? Bring the strife into the marriage. So if I can divide you guys, the blessing gets cut off. And then he enters the marriage. He enters the family. He brings the strife. He brings the division. Oh, we don't think alike. A lot of people, oh, we don't think alike. You're not supposed to think alike. God made you different. God made you different. To think different. Why? Because then you are having a global vision of everything. Come here, amor. I am one with him. I am looking there. He's looking there. I'm covering his back. And everything that he can't see, I'm seeing. And everything that I can't see, he's covering my back. But we gotta see the same. Well, then man marries a man, woman marries a woman. That's not God's will. God's will is that we will see different. I can't see everything. You can't see either. So let's put it all together. What are we seeing? I'm seeing this. We put it on the table, everything. And then together we make that decision. Does that make sense? Oh, we're not on the same page. Do you hear that? We hear that a lot, guys. Oh, my goodness. And that's how Satan comes in. How does he bring the strife in the family? He doesn't bring the strife, guys, into big things. It's little things that annoy us and upset us. It's not a big thing. It's like he puts the underwear on the floor. And then I come and the underwear, can't you pick up that thing and put it in the drawer? Things, little things like that. Little things like that, right? Oh, you left the spoon on the in the sink. Can't you put it in the dishwasher? It's little things that annoy. It's not a big thing. And those little things start to divide little by little. A little something, a little something, a little something. And you guys don't resolve. And if they are not dealt with, they split. The problem is here. Are you dealing with the issues? You have issue. We have issue. You guys have issue. You too. Everybody. Every marriage, there will be little things that are going to annoy one another. But it's how we deal with it. If you deal with it, you're okay. But if you don't deal with it, then you are stuck with that thing and you're going to be not having a good time. You're going to be annoyed and then your kids are going to be annoyed as well. The division is there. So here are some examples of things that annoy and upset and offend us. Here we go. Decisions made by a spouse without consulting the other. Does that upset you? A lot. Honey, I just bought a car. A what? I just felt it was a good thing. Go to the mall, ladies. I just spent today $300. I went to Zara. It was so beautiful. And the husband is starting to faint. Well, if you're going to spend $300, let's call your husband. I just have this good deal here. I was thinking about this. Do you see it? So those are little things that come and annoy and bring the strife in. It's not big deals. Sarcastic comment. A sarcastic comment. It sounds funny. Everybody's laughing. But that person felt stupid in front of everybody. And that hurts. That hurts. What about offensive words, calling people names? Those are things that should never be done in the house. What about the tone and the level of voice? The tone of our voice, if we say the same thing in a nicer tone, oh, the heart's going to be open. But when we say that, ooh, he always tells me, oh, watch your tone. He always tells me, watch your tone.
It's hard in our house because both of us are Italian descendants. So.
Yes, we're like, attitudes, and the list goes on. Today we see in the church many families that are fragmented, unresolved issues in the house, offense here and there, parents that don't talk to the kids that don't talk to the parents, and the list goes on and on. Why? Because they didn't deal with it. They continue to live unhappy, disconnected, relationships are broken, and they do nothing to fix it. When it's so easy, guys, we're going to give you here. We're talking about Christian families, okay? Not worldly families. It's in the church. It's in here, right now. Right now.
I think Justin Viva.
Just at Viva. Satan knows that if there is no unity, there is no blessing. Do you want to let Satan win? In my house, when we feel something and I feel there's an edge, I say, there's not a chance, Satan. You are coming in my house today. I scream like that. He call me crazy, but I tell in his face, not a chance you are coming in my house. Back off in the name of Jesus. That's how I say. I say, you have no right in here. The longer you stay in the strife, the longer allows Satan in your family. And we are the Christians.
Take over. And once she screams like that, I run.
Opa! Opa!
It's just for Satan to run, not you.
The things are not good there. Let's leave it.
Satan, get going. He says, get going. She's mad right now.
That's not a good place for you to stay. So many people say that time can heal all things.
Oh.
Have you heard that?
Yeah.
But that's not true.
No, no.
You know, it's not true at all. What heals the heart is to talk about the problem.
Yes.
That one brings healing. Repent and forgive.
Wow.
That's what the word says. As soon as possible, whenever you have the opportunity, do it. Okay. Do it. That's going to bring healing. Don't just think, okay, in 10 years, I'm not going to feel this anymore.
Wow.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
That's a lie. Do you know how many kids, or maybe you, that you are suffering for some stuff that your parents did, your dad, the way that your dad treat you, some words that he spoke over you, do you know? And we need to be careful what we are saying, speaking of our kids, you know? Oh, dumb boy, you know? Or those words, don't do it. Don't do it. Bless them. Don't say those kind of stuff because you're authority over them. And do you know? And they're saying, oh, I'm dumb.
Yeah.
I'm dumb. That's what my dad said. And they start believing on that. And take years. We do inner healing with people and they come and share with us. You know, that's why smart people, brilliant people, and they think they're dumb because of those labels that were put in their lives for their authority, maybe a teacher, whatever. But we as parents, we shouldn't be doing this. Okay? Okay, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 26, 27, don't get so angry or upset or so offended that you sin. Don't go to bed angry and don't give the devil a chance or a foothold. Don't do that. So leaving the offense for the next day is giving Satan a chance to end your family, our family. That's what he does. Do you know, have you been in bed and you're just had a problem with your spouse and that voice and you're just going to be talking to the devil? That's what I say. It's talking to the devil. Yeah, but she did that. And you're so upset. You know, and you're going to go through the whole night just thinking about that. You know, and something that you can just stop it and you just heard that voice. Sometimes we are so upset that we need to calm down before talking. Sometimes that's what happened, you know. For me, that's what I do. If you put me on the corner, it's like an animal. I'll just jump on you. You know, so now I learn that I just need to wait. Because if I make a decision on the spot, I can make a hard decision and I'm going to regret.
Yeah.
So sometimes I need time to think. And we know.
Yeah.
We know. I'll just say, can I think about? Yeah. Can I have some time out?
Yeah.
And now I'm going to go think about? Because if not, I'm going to make a decision here that I'm going to regret. It's not going to be good. Because I'm angry right now or I'm upset right now. So we need to have this code with one another that it's okay. But whenever I go for half an hour, in the same day I'll come back. So, okay, let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's talk. And I want to ask forgiveness for what I said. You know what? Because the Holy Spirit is there talking to you.
Yes,
you know? And he said, hey, you better go there and make things right.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll just do it. Because if not, it's going to be, I'm just going to be there hearing him saying, and I was wrong. And I was wrong. So we need to have some time and cool down and go and talk.
Yeah.
So, but don't leave the problem for too long, not going back. Some husbands or wife, they say, oh, talk later, and never come back to talk. And you didn't heal that problem.
Yeah.
That problem is still there because you never came and asked for forgiveness. Okay, so this verse is teaching us to deal with the offense the same day. He's not telling us to the following day, no. Before the sun comes out, you ask, make things right. And if not, what happened? You're going to wake up in the morning. I like to do my prayer in the morning. And I went to sleep upset with her. Now I woke up at 4-5 in the morning, and I'm going for my prayer. This relationship, it's cut it off. Because our relationship here is cut it off. So you're there talking to nowhere. Because God is not going to listen to your prayer. Say, okay, what are you saying? What? You know? He's not listening to what you're saying. Because this relationship is broken. So we need, do you want that God hear your prayer? Do you want to have your prayer answered?
Wow, yes.
We need to fix this. Wow, we need this with our kids. Not just because they're kids and you're offending them, that's okay. It's not okay. We need to go and ask forgiveness. So, but I have 40-year-olds and my son is 10 years old. How am I going to ask forgiveness? You know? And you need to be humble and go there and ask for forgiveness. And we are teaching them how to do it. Because monkey see, monkey do. And they are going to learn how to do it. So when we messed up, that's what we do. You know, many, many times, we are in the morning, you know, for the ones that have kids, in the morning, you're driving the kids to the school, and it's that mess inside of the car. Oh, let's go get the coffee, and everybody's in the car. We made it. Now we are going. So it was a mess inside of the house. Yeah. Now, you know, we were upset with one another, and the kids are there. Hey, shut up, or whatever. Do you know? And now we drop them off at the school, and you just go to our day, and okay. So what we need to do, we learn that, yeah. That we come back home or whatever happened, we sit all of us together. If we did in front of the kids, we are going to ask forgiveness, repent in front of the kids. You know, because sometimes they are there on the back seat and they are seeing mom and dad having an argument, being upset with one another. And now they are in school. Imagine their hearts, how broken it is. Right. Yes. You know, and they're there by themselves all day in the school and thinking about mom and dad. They're not doing well. Are they going to get divorced? Yeah. Because there's so many kids, parents divorced in the school. Are they going to separate? Do you know? So those things, those seeds in their hearts. Do you know? So we need to make sure that whenever we get home, that we make things right. Because now we drop them off, and now I'm going to drop her off. And so, can you forgive me? And you're fine. And you get back home. And now they see mom and dad, and they are fine. And maybe, so that's the way it is. Yeah. You don't need to talk. So they did. They don't know that we talk. And we make things right. So what we do, we call them, say, Filho, João Vitor, you saw that dad was upset this morning and mistreat mom. And I asked forgiveness to mom. Mom forgave me. Can you forgive me? Yeah. Do you know?
That seed leaves his heart, leaves their heart.
So do you know? And he will say, yes, dad. Yes, dad. Yeah. So do you know? That's when you bring healing to their hearts. Yeah. Because we see so many kids today hurt. We have some families that we are counseling that the parents who have a discussion in the middle of the night and one just leave the house and said, my dad is gone. They are going to separate now. And the following day, he was back there, but they never talked to the kids. And that's the way they learn. Today, they're not even in church anymore. They're gone. You know, the kids, their life, it's messed up. So we need to make sure that even if our kids, they're small, but they have feelings and we need to talk to them.
But it's like he was asking, is time going to heal? It won't heal, you know. So everything that you haven't forgiven, it's a brick in your relationship. Another thing you didn't forgive, another brick. Another thing you didn't forgive, another brick. So eventually you're going to have a wall. It's a wall of division. You're sleeping in the same bed, but the Satan is sleeping with you. We teach that all the time. If you don't fix the problem, the same day the word says you gave the devil a foot, he's sleeping in your bed with you. And we teach this as serious as you can. This is the Bible. I'm not making this up. And we teach this. We have a couple actually in the house, in the church, and we counsel them. They're brand new. How many? They're 27 years old. They're new, newly married. And we teach this in our things there. One day, he was upset with the wife. The wife did something and offended him. He goes to bed. This is just, they're going to be, in our conference, we ask them to give this testimony. They're going to speak on Saturday. So the wife offended him. She did something wrong. He got offended. They're going to sleep. They didn't talk, but they know they have to talk because that's the rule. You're not going to fall asleep and Satan is not jumping in the bed with us. He's out. Well, anyways, he was offended, didn't tell her, I'm offended with you, can we talk? When you said this, it really hurt me. And then they would, oh, forgive me, I forgive you, I love you, ta-da-da, go to sleep. They didn't do it. So in the middle of the night, he feels this oppression. Have you had an oppression from demon? He feels this oppression, he wakes up and he looks at the door. The demon is standing in front of his door, right in front of his bed. And he starts, in the name of Jesus, leave this house. And then he starts to rebuke Satan. The demon, it wasn't Satan. There's the devil, the demon that was there. Rebuking, and the demon is not moving. This has just happened, guys. They just told us this last week. Did they leave? Said, Lord, I'm just telling the name of Jesus. I'm commanding this to leave. It's not leaving. The Lord said, because you are in sin. You have no authority. And he said, I'm in sin, God. How am I in sin? And then the Holy Spirit revealed, she offended you, didn't she? Yes. So he's thinking, she's the sinner. She offended me. And you took the offense. And you went to sleep and you didn't reconcile with her. So you have zero authority over this demon. He woke her up. Jurema, wake up. I'm so sorry. When you said that and he started to reconcile, they cried. Boom, the demon is gone. This is real, guys. This is not a joke. The Bible is not a joke. The Bible is real. You believe it or not, it is happening. Oh, no demon. The demon is there. Stealing the joy, stealing your peace, stealing your purpose, stealing your dreams. It's up to you. Yeah,
and we are seeing a lot of couples that they come, so we don't have sex anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
good
a big one. But why? You have a wall in between you.
There you go.
You know, there's no feeling, there's no emotion anymore. Yeah. How you're going to touch the other person?
Yeah.
Your spouse. You can't.
Yes.
Because there's so much hurt inside that now you're not able to.
Yes.
So we need to be careful with that. Whenever something happened, we need to, okay, even if like he was the one that was offended. And the other one, sometimes, they offended, but they didn't notice.
Yeah.
Okay, I just said in a way, in a tone that, okay, I felt offended with that. So you just need to go and talk. So when you said that, is that what you're trying to do? You're trying to hurt me? Because that's the way I felt. I said, no, I wasn't. I was just saying normal, my Italian background. That's why I spoke with my hands. You know, so, okay. So I want to ask for forgiveness because that's what I thought. Uh-huh. That you are just upset with me and, you know, and just ask and
that's
free.
It.
Just
that's
remove
it.
That brick between you guys. You know, so the unity will flow.
The offense needs to be removed. The irate, whatever it is, the conflict, the strife, whatever it is through repentance and forgiveness. It's that simple. Amor, I'm sorry. That's all that it takes. Amor, I'm sorry. I was rude. My tone wasn't the best. You don't deserve that. Forgive me. I forgive you, Amor. Forgive me, we kiss and it's done. That's all it takes. The problem is we have the sin nature in us now and it doesn't flow naturally. There's a flesh and a spirit that's a fighting right now. Who is going to win? Are you going to allow your flesh to win? You have zero authority over no demon. Then you're praying over your child that is sick, telling that spirit of sickness to leave. It's not going to leave. Then you're asking for blessings in your job. I want a raise. Things are not going to flow in your house. Things are not, because we're breaking the unity in the house. You need to strive to live in unity. You need to strive to kill the flesh. You need to strive to say yes to the Spirit. Every time he tells you, this is listening to the Holy Spirit, you're wrong. Wow, when you did this, that's the Holy Spirit. Wow, God, thank you. Go there and talk. How often, when do you need to talk? The same day. Don't go to bed. Don't go to bed like that. Strive to walk in unity.
Yeah, so what we can do to walk in unity is not about a big change, but little opportunities that you're going to have every day. God is going to give us different opportunities to do that, to fix those things. Yeah. First thing is resolving the problem the same day.
Yeah,
that's our rule, and that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Now, even with our kids, we just had an episode there, I think it was on Thanksgiving, and something happened with my daughter, the way that I said, and she felt upset, you know, and her boyfriend was there, and they were sitting there and on the couch, and they were just talking, but I saw that she was sad, and I went there in front of him, and I said, Ana Paula, can you forgive me because what I said, the way that I said, you know, and we were just started laughing because what I said was something, I don't know what happened, but both of us were just laughing of the thing, can you forgive me in front of her boyfriend for him to see you, that, you know, because they were there talking and probably she was saying something that she was sad and he noticed that, so I did in front of all of them, you know, can you forgive me? So yeah, then, of course, I didn't want to do that, but the way that I said, maybe you felt
offended. Can you, yeah, then forgive me? And I kiss her, and
that's it.
That was it. Remove that seed from her. You know, after that, she was a complete another person.
Yeah, changed.
Okay, completely changed. Okay, so God's going to give us several opportunities for us to change. And so we need to do this every day. Try to do in the same day. Sometimes it's not going to happen, but make sure, make a point, I'm going to fix this. You know, I'm going to fix this. If you know that you offended someone, repent and ask for forgiveness. If someone offended you, go talk about and forgive. You know, don't hold the thing back. So what else can we do? If you know something will bring strife, think twice before doing it. For couples, sometimes we know that we are going to push the button, and we do it. You know, if we want to see the the circus on fire. That's what we say in Brazil. Lay down old habits. If there's any habit that it's old and you said no, that's going to bring conflict to the marriage, why? Just, I'm not doing it. Embrace a new attitude. Criticize less. That's a big one. I grew up in a house that everybody criticizes. You know, and after we got married, I need to learn this. I shouldn't be doing this. You know, and it's not easy. It's not easy. Make comments that edify and not destroy. You know, those comments that you do sometimes that you don't do it. Keep your mouth shut instead of making that remark you know will hurt the person.
Come on.
All right. Do what is right instead of what is easy. Respect each other. Serve more one another. Speak words of affirmation over one another. Put aside your rights. Guys, Jesus put aside his rights when he came to earth to die for us on that cross. No rights for him. And now we want to have our rights. So we need to put aside that. So put aside your weapons. Sometimes we have weapons ready to throw in the other one. Put aside, don't use it.
Yeah? Amen. Amen. You have on your paper, we want you to answer those questions there. Think about your marriage or family. If you're not married, that's fine. But think about number one and number two. What are some things that are breaking the unity in your home? Offenses, disagreement, difference, you can write it down. We're going to have to do this later because we're running out of time here. But this is your homework for tomorrow. We can't continue tomorrow until you answer those things. Tomorrow, we're going to take it to the next level. The first thing you need to have is unity. Blessing is flowing, blessing is flowing. If blessing is not flowing, whatever we speak is not going to make no sense. The first thing we're restoring, putting our house in order is unity. Got it? We're one. We're not going to be two. We're going to stay the way the Lord made it for us. The purpose was one. We're not going to be divided. If there is bricks, wall there in your marriage, it's about to talk today. Oh, there's no time because, babe, okay, we're going to give you the chance for tomorrow. But if you can do tonight, put the kids to bed and do it. If it's half an hour, if you cry, whatever, listen to one another, forgive and repent. That's what's going to happen. Do you get it? Leadership already did this last night. I know these guys were just like, we're going to do homework now. So awesome. That's what we do all the time. All the time. So I hope most of you guys did. But if you're not here yesterday, you're going to do it tonight. Because tomorrow's lesson will make zero sense if we don't bring the unity today. Make sense? We're going to have to restore that today. So maybe you're going through a very hard time in your marriage. We don't know.
And yeah, sometimes, yeah, we go through so much stuff and you just accumulate a bunch of stuff. So now I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going through that and you find it hard, I was just talking to Pastora about these guys. Just schedule an appointment with them and come and talk to them that they can help.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we need some help from outside.
Yeah.
You know, that we cannot, because we are in so much mess that we need a voice from the outside to help us sort it out and bring things back in order.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So don't be afraid. We are here. We are Christians. You're in the family. So if we need help, we just need to look for help.
Yes.
Because sometimes you are suffering by ourselves, and we have people that can help us.
Yes.
You know, so just do look for them if that's your case. But if not, guys, whenever you're talking, you made your list, things that it's hurting you. And we are going to go and talk to your spouse now about this list. So that's what I'm feeling. Don't try, the spouse that listened to that, don't try to justify, oh, but that's why I did that. Just validate their feelings. Whenever they are saying that, it's because hurt them. And what's going to bring the healing for that? Asking for forgiveness. That wasn't my intention. Can you forgive me? You know, and that's it. And you're going to see that things are going to start changing. And that's the way. So we remove one brick, another one, another one. Talk. Don't let that wall grow. It separates you guys. Whenever you see, well, oops, get out of here. Let's talk about this and clear. You know, so that's what we need to do. That's when the unity will come. And you're going to be blessed. Because that's what the word says. It's not me saying. It's the word saying. Okay?
Hallelujah. I just felt that it doesn't matter how bad it is, your situation. We're very divided. We have no sex for years, whatever. We don't talk. He just does his things. I just do my things. We still come to church and all that. It doesn't matter how bad it is. God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore you. He wants to restore your children, guys. He doesn't want your children to grow and take this to their marriage. They're learning by the example that you are leading them into that. So you need to do better. We can, and it's one thing at a time. Maybe your list is 3 things. Maybe your list is 20 things. It doesn't matter. You're going to talk one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Forgive me, I felt this way when you said this. Wow, that wasn't my intention. Exactly what you said, and then I repent, I forgive. Let's pray together. We pray, hold hands, love one another, kiss. They say a kiss, you should kiss 6 seconds, several kisses throughout the day, 6 seconds, because it just creates something in you. It just generates all kinds of good stuff in your brain, and it does good for your health. Yes. Yes, guys, we do it. We practice all the time. We kiss.
After we read that, I love it.
We used to kiss all the time. We always kissed. Wasn't after we read that.
No, but the 6 seconds was after.
Yes, but that's true. But so kiss more because it's going to be good. Your children need to see that you love one another. They need to feel that. So God said, I'm going to restore, but there's a condition. You do your part. You do your part. So let's say your list is too long. It doesn't matter. You get the 3 done today. That's fine. I don't feel the Holy Spirit is going to give you everything that's hurting in your heart. He won't, because it's too much to deal with. So let's say in a week from now, you remember, oh, I remember that. That was very bad. It's hurting. The Lord is exposing to heal. He's not going to do it in one day. He's going to do it in several episodes. So when you feel that, bring your spouse. Say, amor, this came up today. Remember when that situation came? One day I fell in no frills. I fell down in no frills, remember?
I thought for you, brother.
And he didn't come to help me. And he wounded me. He really wounded me. But he was just, okay, get up and let's go. But in my head.
Move on, woman.
In me, I felt like, what?
Wow, that was bad.
You didn't come to rescue me from the floor and all that. So I harbored that for a long time. I eventually got over that I'm able to talk now,
I did get over.
So God is putting our house in order, guys, one thing at a time. It's not going to be, boom, one thing, done. No, it's one thing at a time. He's ready to give you in one shot, but you are not ready to have it in one shot. So he's not going to do it. It's one thing at a time. That's what he said. He showed me in store. When we were praying, he showed me everything in his store, in his storage. He's ready to give it to you, but you got to make yourself ready to receive it. The blessing is coming. Make yourself ready. One thing at a time. Today we're dealing with unity. The unity blocks the blessing from coming down. Unity maybe was blocked in your house. You're not seeing blessings. Now, because there is no unity. So now let's restore the unity. Blessing is going to start to flow again. Come on. One thing at a time. Tomorrow we're going to do another one. Ephesians 4:30 says this. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We're ending. By whom you were sealed for the redemption, the day of the redemption. Let all bitterness, there we go, and wrath, and anger, and clamor and slander be put away from you, along all malice. Be kind to one another. Come on, guys. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Can we do that? Can we do that? Healthy marriages that walk in unity will generate, produce healthy families walking in unity. And if your family is walking in unity, this church is going to walk in unity. It's the domino effect. Do we want this? We want this. Are you willing to do your part? Stand up if you are willing. Mm-hmm. If you are not willing, don't stand up. Just stay there. Because you're committing before God, guys. The Lord is watching what you're doing.
Yeah, you know? So, yeah, guys, and now you heard this. So just be open, like what she was saying, that sometimes you're not going to remember everything, but later on you just remember something. You know, just be open whenever the other one is going to come and say, can we talk about this? Instead, oh, but I thought we'd talk about everything. It's not like that.
No.
You know, remember when you got saved, that we just felt, I'm forgiven, I'm free.
Yes.
But after you start walking with Jesus, you start remembering some sin and you start asking for forgiveness. We are forgiven. We are forgiven. We are born again, we are forgiven. You know, but we are just starting to remember, oh, I did that. Jesus, can you forgive me that? Apply your blood over me and wash me.
Yep.
So you know, it's going to be little by little, it's happening. You know, so, but that's the way it is. Sometimes you're going to remember the whole thing and you're going to say, maybe it's just one or two. But sometimes it's because it's so much time that you're going through that, there's more things that you need to ask for forgiveness. Just be open to receive the other one. Whenever the other one comes and ask for forgiveness, just recognize, you know, and said, okay, I forgive you. Can you forgive me because I said like that and was bad? You know, God, wasn't my intention, but I did. Can you forgive me? Clear out. Clear the air.
Amen.
So the blessing can come down. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. So if you have your spouse here, can you hold hands? We want to pray for you guys.
Yes, Jesus.
And if they're not here, just be in your heart thinking about them.
Yes, Jesus.
So Father, we thank you, Father God, for your word, Lord. Yes. Because your word, Lord, is powerful to transform our lives, Lord, to bring healing to our lives, so Father. So we pray, Lord, for every couple here tonight, Lord, for every family here represented, Lord, that, Lord, that they will be walking in unity, Father. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you open their eyes, Lord, to see whenever the enemy, Lord, is trying to attack them, Father, come against their marriage, come against their unity, Father God, and they will be able to stand and say, no, Lord. No. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Father God, that they will have, Lord, a time to go through all of these, Lord, to those homeworks. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you just remember them, Lord. Remind them of whatever they need to forgive one another, to release from one another, Lord. Remember them, Lord, that they will be able to sit and talk, Lord. And restoration, Lord God, will be made in their marriages, Father, in their families, Lord, and their kids, Lord, will be blessed, Lord, through this unity. Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we thank you, Father. And everybody said, amen, amen. Bless you guys. Love you. See you.